In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, we've been here about 2 weeks, and our life is pretty much defined by unpacking. I mean, like one room shouldn't take multiple days, right? And yet, life happens in between. You know, just when you think, okay, we're going to get all this stuff done, and then something happens. There's other responsibilities. There's appointments to set up and trying to figure out why when the shippers say that something's going to arrive on a certain day, and then you get a note saying, hey, it's coming early, 3 days later. What? School year starting tomorrow, so there's all getting ready for that. And so, what I really need is, you know those Roombas, the little vacuum cleaners, they scope out your house and then they kind of get a feel for the way that the house is laid out and then they just go through and vacuum by themselves? We need that for unpacking boxes. We don't quite have the AI for that one yet. So what is it that you need? Maybe it's some kind of healing. Whether it's for yourself, for someone you love. It could be physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing. Maybe there's a relationship that's broken that you just desperately want to be healed and back to the way that it used to be, or that it should be. Maybe it's financial stability. Maybe you just need time. Whether it's to finish up that project or just to relax. Or time to get all those things on your to-do list checked off. And yet every time you check something off, it seems like there's two more things on there. It just keeps getting longer and longer. And there are those days where you're busy all day long and just completely exhausted by the end of the day, and then you stop and say, what did I actually accomplish today? I don't even know. Maybe you need these elections to be done. They can cause so much tension. I have friends that I communicate with online all over the world that are tense about the elections in our country. Or maybe it's stability. You just need, with so many things changing so fast, whether it's technology or just the way that our society is changing, and boy, if it just slowed down a little bit so we could catch up. Now, I remember in grade school, we learned that the technology is tools and the knowledge how to use them. And I noticed even back then in sixth grade that there was nothing in that definition about the wisdom how to use them. And it seems like we're developing new tools so fast that we don't have time to stop and figure out what is the wisest way to use them so that it will not bring harm. And by the time we figure it out or get close to it, we're on to something new already. Maybe it's that new pastor with the weird sheep puppet. I heard that! See? Jesus uses the illustration over and over of food. And it makes sense because food is universal. It's something that we all need, and it's something that we spend a lot of time on. You think about all the time you spend planning meals and getting the food, groceries, or however you obtain your food, cooking, washing the dishes. It's ongoing. And, I mean, My kids, you don't feed them for a few days, they get cranky. They expect to be fed multiple times a day. There you go. We have all kinds of needs just to get through the day. But what do we need most? What will actually meet all of those needs, and how do we get it? In our gospel reading today, in John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." Now, last week, and it was mentioned in today's gospel reading, we heard the story of Moses and God providing manna in the wilderness. And so for anyone who wasn't here or aren't familiar with the story, just a quick recap. Right, the Israelites had been set free from Egypt after 400 years in slavery. And God led them out and showed his power, and he brought them out into the wilderness. Now, if you've ever been out in the wilderness in the Middle East, it's a pretty scrubby place. And when you have a nation of 1 million people, it's hard to find food. And the people got pretty upset pretty fast. And so Moses went to God and said, "God, these people are really whiny. And they want food. What do we do?" And God said, "I've got this." And they woke up the next morning, and all over the ground, there was food. Literally, all they had to do is go around and scoop it up. And God said, "I'll have more for you every day. You don't have to save it. And in fact, once a week, gather up double, and you won't, and then you won't have to gather any the next day on the Sabbath day. You get a day off from harvesting. And there will always be plenty for you." But Jesus pointed out that even though God gave them that food, and that food gave them life, they still died eventually. We can't go and ask anybody, what was that like? Besides the little description that we have of what that stuff, that manna, was like, we really have no idea what it was, because we can't ask anybody because they're all dead. But God offered to Israel and to us a greater bread that gives a greater kind of life. And all of our other needs are provided through that bread, that living bread, Jesus Christ. You see, everything was created through Jesus. Right? John, and we've been in the book of John, and in the beginning of his gospel, he says that God spoke creation into existence. And then he says that word that God spoke, that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his name is Jesus. And so literally, all creation was created through him. He is the source of all provision. And through Jesus, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in that, we're praying that God would provide for all that we need for this body and life. But then Jesus also tells us, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But notice, Jesus is the living bread. He's also the word that comes from the mouth of God. He's both. He is the bread. He is the word combined together in one God. And so when we eat the living bread, he gives to us eternal life. Now often when we hear the words eternal life, we think heaven, we think the new creation, the final resurrection, right? But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he says, the kingdom of heaven is life. In Matthew, and in the other gospels, he says, the kingdom of God is life. But when he says that, then usually, right after that, he starts talking about the way things are in this world right now. And so when he talks about giving us eternal life, he doesn't just mean, as he said in our gospel, and I will raise him up on the last day. He's talking about also that he will raise us up now. That he'll give us that eternal life now, in this world, in this life. And so what is that? And how do we receive that? Because that sounds pretty great. Right, so if the living bread is the Word, we consume the living bread by taking in the Word of God. In the Lord's Supper, we receive literal bread. Right? And so when you eat bread, it goes in your mouth, goes to your stomach, and then it breaks down and it flows all through your body. And it becomes a part of you. And you can't say, well, here's where the bread went. Here, that bread, that's in my finger right here. Because it permeates us. There's no part of our body where it doesn't exist. And so when we take in the Word of God through our ears, it comes into our brain, and we understand it, and the Holy Spirit uses it to permeate our whole being, our whole person. Body and soul. And so in the Lord's Supper, we have both of those things. We have bread, we have the Word of God that's given to us. It comes into us. All right? Or I should say, He comes into us through our mouth, through our ears as we hear the Word of the Lord. And through that, He, Jesus Christ, the living bread, the Word of God, permeates our whole person. There is no part of us where He is not. And when He comes into you, that is the presence of God. The same body and blood that was broken and shed for you on the cross, which gives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And so when you have the bread of life in you, that becomes the context for everything else. Every situation that you face. Every circumstance that you're in. And every need that you have. It gives you the confidence that God will provide all that you need. And so even if the provision is not what you expect, or what you want, or precisely what you've been praying for, it's always what you ultimately need, both now and for eternity. Because the God of the universe is within you. He's with you. And yes, He's for you. Now, when you eat bread, that bread is dead, right? Unless it's kind of green and fuzzy, but you don't want that kind of living bread. But unlike ground wheat, Jesus, the living bread, continues to live in us when we take Him in. The Lord of life, who died and rose again to live forever, dwells within us, and He brings to us that eternity, that resurrection, to give us new life now. And here's the thing. God is bigger than us. Right? So when we take Him in, He is too big for us to contain. God is love. And His love fills us and flows through us, giving us peace and joy and His presence in us. But also it is the nature of love to spread. And so as God fills us, He also flows out of us. We cannot contain the greatness of His love. It must flow from us into the lives of others. And when Jesus fed 5,000 families with five loaves of bread and two fish, it wasn't like the manna. Now with the manna, that came directly from God. Right? People woke up in the morning, boom, there it was. Here you go. But when it was time, when all those people needed food, Jesus didn't just produce manna on the mountain. He told His disciples, you go feed them. And for 12 people to feed, like, by the time you add all the families, probably 10,000 people, that's a pretty monumental task when all you have is basically a to-go order of fish sandwiches. But we have the living bread to share with the multitude. He gives it to us to distribute. And you've heard the expression, you are what you eat. Well, we eat the body of Christ. He's living in and through us. And because He is in us, then He declares that we are the body of Christ. And just as He multiplied that food on the mountaintop that day, the body of Christ is multiplied. Since the body of Christ in bread lives in the body of Christ, His people, going out into the world. The living bread is given to the world as Christ provides for the needs of others, the people that He brings into our lives, that He tells us, go and feed them. Go and take this living bread that you have received and let it flow from you through my love as you show love to them so that they no longer have to hunger, so that they no longer feel empty, so that they're not starving and parched, so that they can be full and complete, so that eternal life can be given to all. So what are you still lacking? What are you hungering and thirsting for? What are you stressing about? Because you're worried that somehow Jesus can't or won't take care of it. I know you think, well, no, I know that Jesus will always take care of it. But if you're worried about anything, then clearly there's something at least in the back of your mind that's saying, but will He though? But what happens to those deficits? When you have Christ in you, with you, and for you, what happens when you know that you have eternal life, that you have eternity, that you have God giving you life now? What deficits and life gristle do you need to stop ruminating over? You know, that the word ruminating means to chew on something. All right? And I don't know about you, but I often find myself just ruminating about things. Thinking over and over and you can't get it out of your head. And even if you know it's wrong, it doesn't matter, it's still there. And you chew on it and it's like, and it doesn't change no matter how much you do. But what happens when you hand that over to God and entrust Him to fill you according to His mercy and wisdom? All right, so it's basically what he's doing. He's telling you, look, that thing that you keep chewing on, that's hard and nasty, and no matter what you do, it doesn't get better? All right? Spit it out. Give it to me. Let me take care of it. And now maybe it seems a little bit sacrilegious to think about the idea of spitting some nasty goo into God's hand. Right? But that's how much He loves us. That He is willing to take that. That's why Jesus came. To take all of our nasty gristle. He says, look, I'll take care of this. Right? Instead of chewing on all of that nasty stuff that I've got, that I'll take care of, that I will dispose of for you, or do whatever needs to be done with it. And instead, be filled with me. With the bread of life. Chew on that. Spend some time ruminating over my endless, unimaginable love for you. Be filled with my mercy and wisdom and my love. I'll take care of that. You feast on me instead. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, bread of life, fill our hearts with confident trust in you. Give us joy through your presence in us. Forgive us for short-sightedness that focuses on immediate circumstances instead of your mercy. And when we experience a lack, make us whole as only you can. In your name, amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.